This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hey, Alex here, and you're really going to enjoy this episode. I'm joined by Julie Holly. She's Director of Investor Management and founder of Three Keys Investments. Her and her team help people find their freedom through multifamily real estate investing so that they can live the life of their dreams. But in this interview, we talk about much more than just real estate. You're going to hear what it takes to become an investor, how important it is to secure your family's finances, and the future of the American dollar. Stay tuned.
Hey, I'm Julie Holly. I am a everything kind of woman. So I have an investment company. I'm a wife. I'm a mom. I have a thriving podcast and I kind of do everything and I love it. I love my life. So for Three Keys Investments, which is my company, I am the director of investor relations and I just love bringing people together so that they can learn a new way.
Wow. Okay. So, and you're doing all of these things and running a company. How do you find all the time?
So they can't see because they're not on, but I have this thing called a planner and it's paper and I'm very tactile. Yes, I do have a Google Calendar as well. I do. But I'm strict with my time. I love people so much, but I have to limit, you know, the amount of time. Like, okay, what blocks of time do I have for like inviting new people and having discussions with new people? Like, how much time can I devote to being on other podcasts? How much time do I have for meetup groups? How much time do I have to just, you know, like chunk away at this specific task? Because you and I know, like, so specifically to answer the question on time, I have to sit down every single Sunday. I sit down and I look at my entire week and I look at where the time, like, what is the energy flow for the week? Where am I going to catch my break? And we all know that we have these tasks that we need to do in order to drive our life and our business forward. But somehow they get like kicked to the curb because it's like, oh, I got to go here. Oh, I got to go there. I got this and that. And it's like, no, you have to put time. So now I take all these little tasks. They're not little, they're the big ones that move the business. But I find at the beginning of the month, I list out like, what are the big tasks that I need to tackle this month? And then each week I kind of say, okay, this is what I'm tackling this week. And now where am I going to put this in the week? Oh my gosh, my kids have this and that going on because they're in a virtual school program. So I am also involved with their educational process, right? So it's like, I have to look at my kids' schedules and make sure like, okay, great. All the pieces are there. But it is being thoughtful and very meticulous with your time. And we do this, I tell people, we do this with our food habits all the time. Like, I don't know if you've done it. I've personally never done this, but I hear of people doing this thing where they're actually like tracking their diet and they actually track their calories and they track what they're eating and they track, like, but they don't track their time. Most people don't track their time in the same way that they track their calories. And in December of 2020, I started tracking my time and just doing what I call a time audit. And I'm like, okay, I'm not making the traction I want to make in these particular areas. What's the deal? And I just took that audit and I'm like, wow, I'm not being careful with my time. And I'm like just letting little things ruin the chunks of time that I'd otherwise have. all of that is getting, you know, interrupted. And so I just started creating systems to break that interruption and create some streams.
That is incredible. So a time audit.
Time audit. And
when you mentioned the food planning, because I was a personal trainer at one time. So I'm familiar with the food planning and the even, you know, tracking workouts, tracking all these things outside of something that is so basic to track, like time.
Yeah, it is interesting. And like you, I actually have my workouts in my planner. So it's like, I know what kind of workout I'm doing on every day. I set it on Sunday, like it's all set. And so here's the interesting thing is that if you take the time to plan like this, then when your week comes, it's almost like your subconscious has already created the flow for that week, because you've already visualized it. You've already walked through, oh, I'm going to be on this podcast. I've been looking forward to this all week long. It's Friday. Yay, I get to, you know, record. And, you know, like you already know what's coming. And so you can have more success in that regard as well.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale. Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
The next question I had for you was, what do you do for work? But you just, I mean, you started off listing 10 things that you do. So can you just take me through a timeline on how you started adding all these things, and then how did it get you to both podcasting, but also Three Keys Investment, right? Because you were a public school teacher and now you're an everything teacher and a mom, right? So take me through that timeline.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I'm going to go back to childhood and say that I think I used to, my mom was concerned at many different points that I was, you know, too active and I needed to settle down, not active like ADHD, not that there's anything, actually, I think I probably am, but there's nothing wrong with it. But, you know, it's like, you know, I needed more focus and such. And now I see that I just wasn't wired that way at all. I was wired to manage a large number of tasks and to oversee them. And so part of that transition is also learning how to break tasks down and how to delegate tasks, how to create teams and systems and processes so that you can be effective and efficient. So I made that transition from public school teacher into real estate. You know, there are a lot of reasons why that took place, because I've gone in and out of real estate. I have this relationship like this, you know, and it just kind of weaves in and out. So I've was raised in a residential family. My husband is a residential broker. Like, so real estate and investing in single family has always been part of my life. And when I left teaching the last time, it's really a passion to say, our retirement plans are about as reliable, in my opinion, as Social Security. And that's a really bold statement to make. But I come from California originally, and their retirement system for public school teachers is, last time I checked, I think it was $73 billion in the red. And I don't think that they don't think anything of it. And so when I look at how can I take care of myself if I'm relying on this retirement system, and if I have what most people are relying on, like a 401k or an IRA, right? Those are not going to provide necessarily. Most people think, oh, I've got this 401k and they're like have these warm fuzzies. And then in all reality, that 401k, the average 401k, I think has, you know, like $130,000 in it or something. Like most people are taking all of their years where they could be their earning potential years, basically. And they're hoping that they're putting enough away, but they're never evaluating and they're never really assessing, is that going to be enough for when I do retire? Is that enough to hedge against inflation? Is this going to care for me? So when I left education the last time, it was specifically to be full-time like to go full time with Three Keys and to really proselytize investing in real estate as a way to really help build your retirement and investment portfolio. My heart hurts for particularly for teachers and public servants, civil servants who are working and they put all of their heart into what they're doing and they have this belief that something's going to come on the flip side. And I just see that things are shifting in our world very rapidly and there's going to be a lot of, I just see a lot of discomfort and I want to do my part to help serve people and say, hey, keep doing that. If you love it, keep doing that. None of this says stop what you're doing. It's saying, hey, keep adding to your 401k. That's fine. But like, let's just put a little bit over here. It doesn't all have to be over there. And so ultimately that's what led me into real estate, investing full time.
Biden introduced a plan, a tax plan, right, to increase the tax on the wealthy. I mean, I see. Yeah, I know.
Oh my gosh.
So, I mean, from the perspective of a teacher, right, I'm sure, and I can't speak for all teachers, but their mindset is probably, you know, I should get paid more, but also they should pay more, right, as opposed to how can I increase my wealth?
So I think you're absolutely right. Often, you know, teachers are always jockeying for that, you know, 1-2% increase on the salary schedule each year. And it's not to say that anyone isn't deserving of anything, right? But we have to look at the overarching system and say, can the system bear this? Like, if it's just so funny because we look at our own personal finances, right? And we look at our budget and we say, oh, wow, I'd really like to spend the next, you know, year traveling around, traveling the world on a ship or a yacht or whatever, right? Like, you know, just think of something. I want to go to the moon and stay there for the next year. Like, let's just think of something like crazy that you, it seems like you can't afford it. You wouldn't say, oh, well, I'm going to just do this anyway. And that's what we keep doing. We keep encumbering all of these systems instead of saying, wow, you know what? We would truly love to pay you more, teachers. We would truly love to do that. However, we have this much money that comes in from taxes. And I think that this kind of speaks to everything is like, we have to, everyone can hear that I believe that our we have to have a fiscal responsibility as a government, as a society to say, hey, we got to stay in our lanes just like we do in our own home lives. We need to be doing that as a government. And although our hearts want to create all of these wonderful programs for all of these amazing things that really need care and attention, if we do that, we're not going to be able to sustain ourselves as a solvent country. And so I think that it's also looking at it overarching. But your question really wasn't my opinion on that, but it was really...
No, but I love the opinion. I love it. I want to hear the opinion.
It was really on, you know, why is there this disconnect? And I'm going to suggest that it's not just a disconnect with teachers. It's a disconnect with people in general. And that it would be... You know, the teachers are relying on their pensions, you know, and their retirements, as are police officers and firefighters. And right, you have all of these people who serve, and I appreciate their service so much. And they're relying on this, but other people are relying on their 401ks. And it's like, where is our disconnect? Our disconnect is that we just think we're not paying attention to the signs. I'm going to speak like, generally, macro, most people are so consumed by just simply trying to sustain themselves through the day that they don't have the time or the energy or the wherewithal to stop the scrolling and to stop the ingesting of whatever news they're looking at, to look at where are my accounts at and what does that look like? How do I want to retire? When my kids are, you know, 15 years old and I want to take them on this cool trip, am I going to be able to do that? I just don't think that most people are thinking that 10, 20 years ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of 10, 20 years ahead, I mean, we've talked about the 401k a couple times. On your website, you wrote that the tough times are coming for the American dollar.
Yeah.
Right. What do you mean by that? Again, this is for the people who do have their money sitting in cash, cash somewhere. What do you see coming?
Oh my gosh. Put your cash to work. Put it somewhere you have to insulate. Yeah, so I talk about a hedge against inflation. And so what we saw, and I wrote that, I believed that pre-pandemic, and then I did a website update and that's now on there. I think it is, let's just think about how many trillions of dollars were printed. I think globally there were over $10 trillion printed in 2020. 25% of all of American currency that's in circulation, like 25% was printed in 2020. Like, if that doesn't freak anybody out. So money has value when it is scarce. And when we have this mass amount just injected into circulating it, we no longer have scarcity. We're going to have this crazy inflation that takes place. And I understand there are strategies that they can help, you know, prevent inflation. But do you really want to be the lab rat on this? Like, so I really, like, these are the tough times I see for the American dollar. At some point, this debt that we have encumbered our nation with is going to catch up with us. Do you want to be the lab rat to figure out how that's going to feel? So putting our money into hard assets. So if anyone's listening and you're new, I mean, I like to keep things as simple as possible. So let me kind of take this down like a few different levels and put, like, this is where the teacher in me comes out. It's like we throw these terms around, you know, like asset class. And it's like, we're just talking about, you know, stocks are an asset that you can invest in. And within every asset, there are little sub micro asset classes. So maybe you want to invest in real estate. And the reason real estate is beautiful against, like, as a hedge against that inflation, is that it's almost like freezing your money, right? Like, you're putting it into this asset, and instead of trading it for dollar, because those dollars might not have any value. Let's go back to Russia, right? Remember way back? I remember when I was a kid in the 80s, and, you know, Russia, like, it had no value. Or we could go to Greece in 2008, where their currency had no value to it. So if you want to protect yourself against that value, you buy something and it's hard. It's something that is actually a resource for people. People are using it. And yeah, there is an exchange of money taking place. So for example, specifically with apartments, which is what I invest in. So I'm providing housing and I'm getting an exchange for rent, and there is currency exchange there. But ultimately, the performance of that, my money is just like locked in there, a little bit frozen. And at some point, and I'm going to dare to say it, at some point, if currencies change and the dollar isn't the main currency, you have this hard asset to where maybe you're exchanging it for a different currency is actually valuable. And if people aren't thinking along those lines, I highly encourage you to start thinking that maybe the American dollar hasn't been around for really that long, in all reality, if we look at history. So change can happen, and it probably will happen. And I feel very bullish saying that, you know. But
I mean, you can't discount how bullish you're being. I mean, within just the last, what, 10 years, a little bit more, we've had the resurgence or the climb of cryptocurrencies, right? We've had a lot of different assets become now super valuable just because of the power of that blockchain. So now, does your dollar weigh up against those things in the future? Well, I mean, your solution to that, right? Having real estate, it doesn't even matter to you, right? You own this apartment building. When you go to sell it, if they pay you in dollars or Bitcoin, it doesn't matter. You're going to get that value back.
That's right.
But if you leave your dollars in a 401k and you know, withdraw all that dollar out, and those dollars are useless, you've now spent 60 years building up this asset that has no value, as opposed to your hard assets. Is that accurate?
Oh my gosh, we make a good team. Thanks. You just made sense of everything. I love it.
hope you learned something from part one of this interview. The idea that stuck with me the most was the concept of time tracking, an incredible skill to develop and often overlooked. What did you like the most? Make sure you tune in for part two tomorrow, and good luck with your investments today.